Okay, so as I reflect on the new year, I think about even the Christmas Eve service that we had, which was really beautiful. It was a beautiful service, and we were talking about Jesus and about, obviously, his birth, but we talked in the sense that his birth of December 25th, we know isn't the real date. We know that much of the Christmas tradition is steeped in other ancient religious traditions, many that preceded Jesus by thousands of years. And we find that. So the wreath and the hall. Oh, that reminds me, Kathy, when are we breaking down? This week, right? Wednesday? If you want to come help out, Wednesday morning, 9 o'clock. Yeah, we'll be here at 9 just to take stuff down. Stuff goes down a lot faster than goes up. But whether it's the Christmas tree, whether it's the concept of lights, whether it's the evergreen and the holly, these were all symbols of the season that had actually nothing to do with Christianity. They had everything to do with the winter solstice that took place. And as I said, the winters were fierce in the ancient world in many places. Winter was a fight for life, and it was because there was no light. It was cold and it was dark, and as it got darker and colder, it got harder to live. You know, we've mastered darkness now with electricity, but back then there was no such thing. So people only had a few hours of daylight, a few hours that it would maybe even be warmer than it would be before it got cold again. Food was scarce. It was so they set up, these ancient people set up, they were so astute to the weather and the seasons, they knew exactly the day that was the longest and darkest day of the year. And they also knew that the next day was going to be a little bit lighter, and the day after that a little bit lighter, and that the sun and life was coming back and moving forward, and they'd made it through the darkest period of the winter, and they would celebrate that. They would have a huge celebration, and they would light fires, or now we call them Yule logs, but that's really an ancient tradition. And they would have this one night of feasting in December 25th, that they would have food, and they would maybe share and come together and sharing, giving gifts, in a gift in the form of food and drink, and coming together and celebrating this thing. So when the Jesus story began to circulate in the ancient world, many people already assumed, well, when Jesus was born, had to be on this night. It had to be, because Jesus was the light of the world, it had to be when he came into the world, it came on this night. The night that we celebrate is the night of getting through the darkest winter, and now hope is hitting. And we celebrate Christmas, and that's like, we say, well, Jesus is the reason of the season. Well, Jesus is bigger than the season. Jesus is bigger than Christmas in our religion and our churches, and always has been. And in an ancient way, all people and all faiths that were kind of groping for God found their own way. These people, it was a religious ceremony. And the Romans had this thing called Sol Invictus, where they actually celebrated the sun. And so this was a very religious tradition that preceded Jesus by thousands of years. And God was in it. God was in it all. And then when we think of the Christmas story, I want to talk about the three kings today for a moment. We think of the three kings, and we know that by the gospel narratives, they did not arrive on the night that Jesus was born and bow down at his manger. We know that's not true. In fact, Jesus was a small boy. In fact, we get from one of the gospel narratives when they finally showed up to his house, as it's told in the gospel. Not to the manger, they came to his house, and he was a small boy. But they did come to bring gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I mean, really valuable things. And these three, what we call the wise men, they were known as the magi. That's what they call them, where we get the word magician. They were astrologers. They came from the east. They came from Persia. They were Zoroastrians. They had a completely different faith in Zoroastrianism. And they were astrologers. And they studied all these ancient scriptures, and they looked to the stars. And in all that, guess what they found? They found God. They found God. They drew near to God. And God spoke to them. And they were compelled to find this child entering in the world and offer gifts and to offer their worship and their joy. And these three foreigners came and they traveled many miles. They met with Herod, and Herod was threatened by that. And then they did ultimately find the Christ child, and they paid homage to him, and they gave gifts, and they worshiped God. That's really interesting to me, because they came from a completely different religion, and yet they were connected. They were the amongst the privileged ones that came, and though from a different religion, they recognized the magnificence of the Christ child, and they bowed down and worshiped. And then God warned them that now Herod was going to come after them, and they had to take a different... So God is involved in them, involved in speaking to them, involved in the religion, and they escaped, and most very likely went back to Persia, went back to practicing their religion. And then someone asked me, well, Paul, does that mean they are in hell right now, burning in agony eternally? There's this really funny little cartoon I saw where the three wise men are sitting on their camels, and one looks over, he goes, something to the effect, you know, I was looking at my crystal ball, and I saw into the future. And apparently this child we're going to look up, it's going to send us to flaming hell forever because we're the wrong religion. No, you listen to that and you just go, no, that's not how God operates. God apparently was very involved in loving these people. And they were very involved in following Jesus and following God, and had this new revelation about life, about God, about the future. They were open to the new. And that's something I hope that we can be as well this year, open to the new. And that we, as followers of Jesus, can show that same openness. Jesus was so open to different people, different beliefs, whether the Syrophoenician woman, whether the Samaritan man, whether the Roman centurion. He was just always open and loving, and he saw where God was working in their lives. And he wasn't trying to convince them they were wrong and he was right. He wasn't trying to convert them to anything. Here it is. He was trying to make them aware that God is here. It's not about you have to pursue this. God is already here and with us, and we open ourselves up to that. The Apostle Paul, an early Jesus follower, steps into the city of Athens, and he goes to Mars Hill, as it's called. It's my friend's church used to be named. The Areopagus. It was a place where philosophers came and spoke, and they had many different kinds of idols to the different gods and religions there. And they also had one idol, because they wanted to cover their bases. These people wanted to make sure all gods were worshipped and honored. They had one idol that says, to the unknown God. And Paul saw that, and Paul said, check it out. That unknown one, I'm here to let you know about today. And he tells the Jesus story. But he makes it very clear. He also says that Jesus, this God, is with us, close to us, not far from us. In fact, he says, in him we have our life, our breath, and our movement. It's in Acts chapter 17. I don't know why it's not on my phone. It was here a second ago. I actually want to read this to you, and then we'll devote. I just love the way Paul phrases it. He's evolving. This was a guy that thought he had it all down. He thought for sure his way was the right way. He found a new way to live and respond. Here's Paul in Athens at the Areopagus. He says, he speaks of this God, to the unknown God. He says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and doesn't live in the temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life, breath, and everything else. He said, from one man he made all nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times and histories and boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him, perhaps reach out for him, and find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and we move and we have our being. And then he quotes one of their prophets. He says, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Wow. We're all children of the Creator. We are all brothers and sisters. And I think it's so exciting for me to be a part of a faith community that loves and follows Jesus with passion, but in that has an openness as Jesus did to the brothers and sisters that are our brothers and sisters, to the people of different faiths, so many people of different faiths, because I was open to them suddenly, showed me new things, taught me new things, gave me new revelations of God in ways I'd never seen before. So I'm hoping this new year can be a year of discovery, can be a year, as I shared with the children, that we try new things, that we meet new people, that we make new friends, that we read new books, that we're open, and that we don't operate out of a fear of what might happen with trying something new, but we work out of a faith that says, I'm looking forward to the good things that are going to happen out of trying new things, right? Peace, grace, love be with you. And if I may close with a serendipity prayer, many of you have heard this prayer and know it, but I kind of redesigned it with some extra words, and I'd like to close in this prayer, and then you can take communion, the wine and the matzah there. And John Dorsey, thank you so much for preparing every Sunday or for Sunday, and the grape juice and matzah in the self-serve tray, and I'll be here with anointing oil to anoint the new year. But let's close with this prayer. God, give us peace, patience, grace to accept those things that we wish we could, but we cannot change or control anymore. God, give us strength and courage and your spirit and your help to take the steps and make the changes that are needed in our lives. And God, give us wisdom and friendships and counsel and clarity and guidance in knowing when to say yes or no. And God, grant that we can see you, Lord, in friends and in foes, in sunrises and sunsets, in starry nights and blue skies, in the trees and in the mountain vistas and the ocean waves, in our laughter and our tears, to the day we see you face to face and are caught up in your loving embrace. Amen.